and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 406. How are we all doing? It might be day 406, but I have a feeling young Jonathan thinks it's Christmas. On account of the fact he was in the chat that early, it was frightening, wasn't it, Mike?
Yes.
Are you doing your in three places at once thing?
I'm in the news.
Mike's doing the news, but...
And I'm in marooned.
You're in marooned.
And I'm masked up.
Oh, we're going to have a picture of that. Hang on. Let's get a picture of that. Right. Georgia's on her way, Mike. He's got another one.
As in George.
Come on. Oh, let me get a portrait one of that. Oh, my word. I think that's worked. Right, let's have a look at what I've got of him. Oh, look at his little face.
I've got to keep my eye on outside.
Yes.
Because they can't park right outside.
No.
Because people in the posh cars have done that.
Well, they're not us. We haven't got any posh cars. I don't have no need for a car. None whatsoever. So I'm going to get this sent to my desktop so I can have a look at it. And then I'll get it sent on to you. But he's all masked up, ready to go. In fact, you've been a bit too social today for my liking, haven't you, Mike?
I haven't been that social.
He was pondering with people while he was out.
That's a good show title.
Pondering with people?
Yeah. He's too peoply out there, but we've had a show.
We have to
title.
Congratulate young Jonathan, don't we, for getting in so early today. This was because the chat was open and he did a Kim, because Kim sneaked in yesterday. He did the same. Oh, what are you lot like?
Jonathan, let me tell you something. At the end of each day, I delete the chat. But I actually, instead of doing one tick and batch deleting, I deleted it in batches just to keep your one chat item.
He did as well, because he told me. Right, apparently that should be there for the sharing.
I thought Johnny's gone to all that effort at 1 minute past three.
Yeah.
To go to Maroon, to go to Matt Vice FM. I can't let it go to waste.
No, it can't be deleted.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, what did you think, Johnny, when you went to the chat and it was closed? Well, actually, it was probably open, wasn't it? Because I opened it about 10 to 7.
Right.
Because then I had to give Princess a dinner.
Oh, for crying out loud. The Amazon app's frozen, which means I can't see where the thing is.
Are they coming in a van?
I'm beginning to think she's walking, to be honest. That bad
because there's a car pulled up outside.
Oh, it could be a car. That sounds like it could be her.
No,
hang on, she's at Cherry Lane.
There's two girls.
Just a minute. If I look out the window, don't tell me we've got somebody else parked outside the house. Is it still illegal to shoot people that park outside your house asking for a friend?
There's two girls.
Oh, I don't want two girls outside the house. Are there some of your women?
What if they're delivering stuff?
Oh, that's all right then. Are they delivering stuff?
I don't know.
According to this, it says you're next and they're at Cherry Lane.
They're getting stuff out the car.
Cherry Lane. Yeah, got to keep that bite as updated, Mike. Cherry Lane is where the pub was. I see. It's two women. Not satisfied with one woman. He's having two women. Anyway, yes. I thought she was here. She's called Georgia. But clearly she's got a friend with her. This is good, isn't it? Anyway, congratulations, Jonathan. Big, big, big congratulations. And hello to Renee and hello to Kim. Oh, no, we have a dying Mac. You can only have one app open at a time with your browser. Kim, go up to the Apple logo and go down to about this Mac. And under memory, what does it say? Has it got bad memory in it? If you can only run one thing without it croaking, maybe the memory's not reporting itself to be there. So obviously in mine, let me get a... Where's the cloud apply thing? There's the cloud apply thing. Right, let's take a picky. What I want to take a picky of is that. Right, and it will upload it. The bit that looks like that. Obviously yours won't say that. Hello, Tracy! Happy anniversary! Oh, should we do that again? Should we do the anniversary thing again? That's in me other stingers. Happy anniversary!
Let's party!
Yay! Happy days for Tracy. Right, so let's have a look. What's going on outside? CQ, Deb, CQ. Don't miss anybody. There's always something going on outside here, Jonathan. Like the week at MacBite's headquarters. So Cherry Lane, when I said they're at Cherry Lane, that's opposite where the mass brawl was, which is near the Tesco's. But this is a Morrison's order. I was in charge of this last night. Honestly, it took me about 20 songs to get the order done, because every time I tried checking out, it's like, ah, now, you can't have that, but you could have this. And I'm like, no, I want that, not a bar of soap. So it took me a long, long time. But we've got some new ice cream to try, because the ice cream wasn't great from Tesco's. Oh, in other news, did anybody see... Oh, what's the programme called? Have I got news for you? It was all to do with the icon for the Amazon app. Now, we discussed this. I remember Tracy saying it was vile. Totally agree. It had a blue... The icon went from being like bright yellow, so you could see it, to like a cardboard box colour, so really fawny, browny thing, with the Amazon smile thing on it in black, and then a blue-like tag at the top. And from memory, the tag had like teeth on it. Is this making sense? Is anything I'm saying making any sense? Let me see if it's a thing. Amazon app. Icon, up icon. Let me see if this is indeed a thing. Right, I'm going to have to take that away or it's going to search Amazon, and I don't want it to search Amazon for itself. There we go. I thought this was a joke, but apparently not. So when this icon was introduced, it had this blue tag thing at the top, and they've actually changed it to this. Just look at that. And the reason why they've changed it, talk about you couldn't make it up. Because not the original icon, which was nice, but the first replacement icon, and I quote, looks like Hitler. I thought it was a joke. I totally missed that story in the week. So I'm watching the programme thinking, oh, this is really funny, but is that a joke? But no, it wasn't. I can't honestly see Hitler in that, but maybe anybody else can. Anyway, it's changed. So it's now got this kind of blue tag thing with a bent over corner, so it looks like a piece of paper. Couldn't make this up. You couldn't. Ooh, Kim watched 4 episodes of Line of Duty. What's CID? Criminal Investigation Department, Kim. It's the non-uniform branch. I guess the equivalent in America would be you've got, like, police that wear a uniform and you've got detectives who don't. So CID is detectives who don't. Sorry about your dirty mind. The Amazon logo always looks like something else to you. Do I need to turn it round to see that? Oh, it's terrible. I should put the old one back. That would be fantastic. What's the difference between a DS and a DC? A detective sergeant and a detective constable. So a detective constable is below a sergeant. Above a sergeant, you have a DI, which is a detective inspector. And then it goes crazy after that. You've got superintendents and all kinds of stuff. So in terms of the pecking order you've got, I think Steve's a DS at that point. And I think... Oh, what's her name? Kate is also a DS. But obviously the guy in the suit, which makes it ridiculous, doesn't it? The guy in the police thing, he's a superintendent, Superintendent Hastings. So as they get up the ladder, they then start wearing police uniform again. We're just crazy here. So I think, and there's a detective... There's a chief inspector as well as a DI, isn't there? So above a DI, so you've got DC, detective constable. Above that, you've got the sergeant. Above that, you've got the inspector. But then you've also got, above that, a chief inspector. Oh, we need a diagram of this, don't we? We definitely need a diagram. Anyway, what do you think of the Hitler thing? Does it look like Hitler? Oh, Simon says, yes, it does. You have to be pushed, though, don't you, Simon? You do. I'm with Jonathan. When I first saw it, I thought, yuck, it's a horrible new icon, not which right-wing dictator does it look most like? I think when somebody mentions it, but, you know, I didn't automatically think of that. I honestly didn't. I just think the icon itself is so bland. Maybe with a border on it or something. But the one they had was fine. Why turn it into this pale parcel thing? Don't like it at all. Do not like it at all. Did you enjoy Line of Duty, Kim? That's the thing. Did you enjoy it? Oh, do be careful going out for the dog walk, Simon. Look what happened to Mike last week. Middle of a brawl. Right, I'm going to get that link from Tracy so I can see the lovely scenery. Because you know what we've got? We've got like flying fried chicken and stuff like that. Nothing ornamental. Oh, this will be stunning, doubtless. Oh, wow. I haven't even pressed play yet. Oh, wow. That does look beautiful. And that is honestly just the poster frame. Let's get it playing. Wow. And just my kind of thing, that, Tracy. Not a person in sight. Oh, yes, absolutely. What's the bit in front of the beautiful rapeseed? Is that... Are you stood on something? Oh, hello! There's a doggy. Is that Piddle Pooch? Piddle Pooch just got up and walked off, if it was. Wow. That is gorgeous. It must be the bit you're stood on. Like the grey bit. Wow. Loving it. No, we've not got anything like that picturesque as that. Would you like some footage of the ship canal? As scenic as it gets. Oh dear, oh dear. That's amazing. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Right. Let's scrolly scroll. Right. Hello, Paul. Oh, there's one from Renee. Let's have a look at that one too. Oh, right. I'll have a look at that one too, Simon. Do you know the things they find that look like Hitler? I like the chicken logo. That's fantastic. What a cute chicken. Right, let's have a look. My passport photo's not good. I think it's about 15 years old now because I never renewed my passport. Not much point at the minute, is there? Oh, it does. You're right. Now, that one actually does. Is that just like the pattern over the photo? Oh, that is bad news. Oh, and have you noticed that came from the Manchester Evening News, so it must be around here somewhere. It's not good, I'll grant you. Salford. Anyway, he was trying to celebrate his 50th birthday. Good luck with that. Oh, you know, we talked about Boris's flat and it being refurbished. Now, this is the flat, not the briefing room. Apparently, he paid for it. I mean, you're not going to be there that long, Boris. You know, don't get settled in. But we'll see. You can imagine somebody at the Amazon meeting saying, doesn't it look like Hitler? And being told to pipe down. Oh, wow, he must be laughing now. I honestly think that was like somebody made the suggestion and that was it. Everybody ran with it. In terms of, you know, like they release the icon. It's like, oh, yeah, we like it. And then somebody says, like a punter outside, that looks like Hitler, don't you think? And then everybody agrees. Yeah, that's much more likely to have happened. Oh, Kim liked it very much. Bit violent in parts. You have to close your eyes. It is very brutal in parts, but mainly it's just clever. The scenes that are the best are where they get somebody in and they have those interviews. Those interviews that they do. And you'll hear the phrase many times, I reserve the right to be questioned only by somebody one rank or higher. That's become like a catchphrase for the show. Those interviews are amazing. They were good in the first series, but wait and watch the second series. They're even better. The first interview with the person in question in series two, don't blink. Don't breathe. Just watch. It's fantastic. I could watch that 20 times. It's brilliant. Love the ship canal. Yeah, there's parts of the ship canal that are bearable and there's other parts. No, don't go anywhere near them. We do have a fantastic view from the top of the bridge. It's now at the Trafford Centre. So you do get a really nice view of the Trafford Centre. So yeah, if you want some pictures of the Trafford Centre, that's about the best I can do. Oh dear. An unfortunate shadow. Indeed, that is bad. He does look like Hitler. In fact, the fella behind, you know, even in the face, he doesn't look like that passport. That is particularly bad, though, I'll grant you. But who pays for Boris's salary? Ooh, in a roundabout way, the public are paying for it. Ooh, indeed, Paul, that's spot on. Simon thinks Bongo may have paid people back for it immediately as it became an issue. They still need to investigate. Oh, I totally agree, Simon. Enjoy the walk. Enjoy the walk. I think they do need to investigate because I don't believe it for 1 minute. And it's not just the Tory party that do rubbish like this. They have the reputation for sleaze. In terms of they're always having mistresses or they're always up to mischief in some kind of way or another. But it's not just the Tory party. One thing that came to light many years ago, probably about late 90s, early 2000s, Labour were in power. Tony Blair was Prime Minister. And we have something over here called the Lord Chancellor. And the Lord Chancellor sits in the Lords, not the House of Commons, they sits in the Lords. And he is like the Chief Judge. And he put one of his cronies in this position. His name was Derry Irving. So he was the Lord Chancellor. And he decided, he'd not been in there 5 minutes, and he decided he wanted the entire place redecorated. So this isn't where he lives. You know, this doesn't come with like a grace and favour flat. This was his office or offices, right? And he wanted it redoing. Well, I can imagine you wouldn't particularly maybe want the style of your predecessor, but you can only take these places so far because your offices are the offices of the Lord Chancellor. So, you know, you can't just rip everything out and you know, all the cladding and put IKEA stuff in. It doesn't work like that. But he wanted the wallpaper particularly changing. Unbelievable. This wallpaper was something like £7,000 a roll or something ludicrous. The bill was absolutely astronomical. And he expected the taxpayers to foot the bill. Let me see if I can find it. Lord Chancellor, wallpaper. I guarantee it. Come on, there you go. Images of the Lord Chancellor wallpaper. Anger over Lord Irving's wallpaper. There you go. Let's find out when it was and exactly how much it was. Oh, good grief. Look at that page off the BBC. That would fit on a phone these days. 1998. And the pictures have gone, unfortunately. So here you go. I don't know how many rolls of this wallpaper. Does it actually tell you the wallpaper? Well, the price of the wallpaper alone was £59,000. But the price of the renovation of this flat was £650,000. So it really isn't just the Tories. They're all as bad as one another. Good night, Jonathan. Have fun with the bins. Right. Customer is getting the non-profit subscription to canva.com and he gets it for free and invites me to the team. That's cool. Oh, Renee, congratulations. Neat way of doing it. I'm impressed. It's a good toy, isn't it? It's a very good toy. Do they give the person being interviewed a copy of the interview tape as well? Why are they still using tape? Right. That series that you're watching, Kim, was from 2012. And the system had been put in place after the Police and Criminal Evidence Act of 1984, some of which still isn't in there at the moment, that has not been enacted yet. So back at the time, every police station and AC office was equipped with a digital tape thing. So you used tapes. Since then, it's been replaced. So in future series, it looks very similar, but it's all digital now. It's now called the DIR, the Digital Interview Record. So when you, in future series, you'll hear them say, you know, at the moment it's for the sake of the tape, but in future series they say for the sake of the DIR, and what they mean is this digital interview recording. Right, do they get a copy of it? They can request a copy, yes, Kim. Another reason why it was on tape for so long was purely practical. A tape is very difficult to edit successfully with no indication that you've done it because it's a physical thing. So when digital became a thing many years ago, it was like, no, we're not moving. Not yet. We're not. Not yet. Until they could find a system that could ensure that the recording Once it's been recorded, I mean, obviously recording it's simple, but once it's been recorded, how do you track that digital file to know that it hasn't been edited? I mean, I'll give you an example. I was doing something last night, a recording piece on my own. And when I listened back to it, there was one bit where I'm coming in to say something, and there's a digital click on it. So I isolated the click, and it was literally, when you press play and it repeated, it went... So I thought, I've got to get rid of the click. But I've got to get rid of the click without getting rid of the rest of it. Now, sometimes you can do a bit of an edit, and it's like, that's much better, but can still hear the click, but only fractionally. Other times it takes that out totally. So what you do is you zoom in, zoom in, zoom in, zoom in, zoom in. Literally, fractions of a second you are looking at. And you can edit that out. And obviously, you don't want this recording to be edited in any way or form. So what they used to do with the tapes was, there was more than one. So there were multiple copies of the tapes. I think there were three. And one was like put in storage as being like the reference point. So if there was ever in the future anybody saying this has been edited, you could always go back to the original. So what, before they implemented digital, they wanted some kind of signature on the file to make sure that they could claim that this was an unedited original. Oh, it's all technical, isn't it? But that was the thing behind it. Ooh, Renee does charitable work for the customer, newspaper ads, and it's a great way to get something in return. Indeed it is, Renee. Genius on your part. There you go. You just noticed the two slots for the tapes. Yeah, that was the way they did it for years and years. And I remember thinking, just like you, oh, yeah, you could go digital. And then, you know, it came out with why aren't the police going digital? And it's a really good reason why not. I mean, even if you've got this digital thing, how do you prove that that's not edited? I mean, I know from the job I do when I'm editing Mac Bytes or I'm editing anything else. When we very first started, it was like, we're not going to be able to edit our individual. So we had three files, three digital files, and we wouldn't be editing our own individual file without reference to the other two files, because otherwise you'd never get the thing to join up. And I wasn't expecting originally to edit that much. It was a case of we had three main chunks to the show, and the intro and the outro. And there was me, Mike, and Mikey B. And when all these files arrived, it was like, well, that needs editing, and that bit needs editing, and Mike coughed then, that needs taking out. So I know how good you can make a digital edit that you would never know it had been edited. I'll tell you what I did the other week. You know the segues that I do? On a Saturday, we have like 8, 9, 10 shows. And each one has a segue between it, which is, what's the line I say? Welcome to Brooklyn's 196, the official radio station of Brooklyn's Catanians. And then I say, coming up next, we've got X. But first, here's what the rest of the day is looking like on Brooklyn's 196. And then I rattle the programmes off with the times they're on. So I'm looking at them and I'm saying, and at 3 o'clock, we're in the Brooklyn years, we're going back to 1967. At 4 o'clock, we're fast forwarding to 1997. And at 5 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. So I'm doing that. I did not notice, and this happens so much when you're reading stuff. I mean, it's bad enough when you speak, but when you're reading stuff, I'd looked at it, and Mike and I always use 24-hour clock. So 5 o'clock actually says 1700 hours. And then I'm not going to say 1700 hours. So what I actually said, you know, I mentally translate that to 5 o'clock on the fly. Apart from one of these segues where I said, and at 7 o'clock, we've got blah, blah, blah. And I'd finished recording it at that point. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm listening to it. And then I thought, did I just a minute? Did I say 7 o'clock? And I wound it back and I had. And I thought, well, bad words were said. I thought, what am I going to do with that now? And then I thought, I know what I'll do. I thought, I'll have to re-record it. And then I thought, no, just a minute. There's other segues that I did in the same piece where I think I did say 5 o'clock. So I fast forwards and I find a bit. And yes, I'd said 5 o'clock. So I just highlighted where I'd said 5 o'clock, copied it, went back to where I'd said 7 o'clock and pasted it in, and then tweaked either end of the edit. You couldn't tell the difference. So that's why digital took so long, because they needed some way of a digital signage. And I don't know actually how that is digitally signed. Because, I mean, obviously, Line of Duty is all about corruption. So even if you got the original, I wouldn't guarantee it hadn't been edited. Because that's the essence of the show. I haven't seen Alex for a few minutes, so I'm not sure if Alex is still in. Oh, what fun we have. So, yeah, £650,000 of public money to decorate his flat. And he described it as a noble cause, did the Lord Chancellor. I mean, talk about out of touch. Look at that website, though. Oh, dear me. The fact that there was actually a news website is frightening. Looks like it was designed for a 640 pixel monitor. Really narrow. You honestly could fit that on a phone these days. Isn't it a shame that the wallpaper, you can't see the image of the wallpaper. But he was quoted as saying, I mean, how snobby is this? And this is the Labour Party. The wallpaper's not like something you can buy from a DIY store. I do believe from memory it was all hand done. And then the wallpaper industry was insulted, so then he had to apologise to them. Oh, happy, happy days. I wonder if there's any pictures of it. Lord Irving, wallpaper. Let's have a look. And then let's go to the images. There you go. Oh, my. Oh, that's too tiny. We need a bigger one. That was the wallpaper, and that was the design of the wallpaper. Let's take the picky of it. Let's get that one and upload that for a start. Because you wouldn't want to miss this wallpaper that you paid £59,000 for. Is this his personal flat? I think it must be a flat that comes with the job. I thought it was his office, but I think actually it ended up being a suite of rooms. That was what the wallpaper looked like on the wall. Lovely. Must have been some kind of crest or other of his. And that was what it looked like, just the actual wallpaper. That bit there, which is very garish, isn't it? If you've never seen Lord Irving, you've no idea what the guy looks like. And I'm not sure if he goes out looking like this in public. But that's a very good image. That is Lord Irving. There we go. In his lovely wig. That's his horsehair wig. Genuine horsehair wig. That probably cost about £1,000 itself. Yeah, so when he was sitting, he would wear his wig. Now, here's one for Kim in terms of the DI, the DS and whatever. He is a senior judge, and you can tell this by the length of said wig. Honestly, you couldn't make it up. You'll notice barristers in court, and they do still wear wigs. If you have somebody in a Crown Court or above, so if you see any dramas and it's like there's a judge in all his regalia, that's probably a Crown Court. A Magistrates Court, they don't wear regalia like that. But at a Crown Court and above, the judges will wear wigs like that. Well, the barristers who are appearing in front of them, they also need to wear wigs, but they're very short wigs. The only people that you will find addressing a court like that without a wig is what's called a solicitor advocate. And they don't wear wigs at all. So many years ago, about 20 years ago, if not more, when John Thor was doing Kavanagh QC, when it was first pitched to him, he said, I'm not doing that. I'm not standing there wearing a wig. And the guy who'd written it said to him, oh, all that's going. Did you not know? And it was up for debate and they were all voting on it. So he said, oh, in that case, I'll do it. And by the time, so once he'd signed the contract, by the time he'd come to it, that they'd thrown all that out and the wigs were to stay. So he was really peeved. Oh, but yeah, yes, you can see him, can't you? You can think, oh, yes, he obviously needs £59,000 for his wallpaper. Who doesn't need £59,000 for their wallpaper? It would give me more than a migraine, Kim. It's vile, isn't it? It's absolutely vile. But it was handmade and all the rest of it. But oh, the fallout from that. Honestly, the fallout from that. And he came up with a defence. You read it at the bottom of the story. And he says he defended the spending, saying that the public would be able to visit his office. He said charities like Breast Cancer Care and the Leonard Cheshire Foundation were queuing up to arrange tours of the apartment when they opened. Oh, good grief. There are no words. There are no words. The wigs look like a COVID breeding ground. You're not kidding. Now, there's another thing with the wigs. There you go, Kim. There's another thing. That reminds me. That wig does not exactly look new, does it? It looks quite dark, as though it's been there a while. You are judged by the age of your wig. You buy a wig, because I always thought, you know, before I knew any better, that, you know, when the wig wore out, you buy a new one. Oh, good grief, no. I actually know a barrister who was forced to buy a new wig. And it was something to do with, I think they'd lost one. I think it had been lost somewhere or stolen. So they were actually forced to go and buy a new wig. And because that would have meant, if it had put this brand new wig on, like, oh, he's new. Honestly, they would be judged as being like idiots because of the age of the wig. So he came back. This wig arrived. You have to get these wigs from a place in London. And this was when I was working in Chambers. And this wig arrived and he opened it. It was pristine. And I thought, oh, that's beautiful. And the first thing he did was put it on the floor and jump all over it. And he said, I've got it. I said, what are you doing? Thinking, oh, my God, he's flipped on. I need to have him committed. And he said, I've got to age this wig before I use it. So it was kicked around the floor for days on end until it looked filthy. And then he was prepared to wear it. So, yeah, barristers barking mad. No, you know. How in the world do you clean them? You don't, Kim. You literally do not. It's all to do with the wig aging. So when you, if you took up a wig out, these wigs are kept in a tin box. And the tin box is kept in a drawstring fabric bag. Now the drawstring fabric bag is quite large. And it holds the gown as well. So the gowns that they wear, again, all come from this individual shop in London. Eden Ravenscroft, it's called. I got my degree gown from there. And my convocation hood. You probably don't know what a convocation hood is, do you? I'll get a picture of a convocation hood. Or I could get my dig out my graduation photo somewhere. I probably have got that somewhere. But the drawstring bag usually has your initials on it. It's like a kind of silk, shiny, fabric-y thing. You put your gown in there. You know, you don't put your gown in your briefcase. Your gown goes in your gown bag. And the wig goes in a tin box inside your gown bag. But as a new barrister, you would be judged on the fact that your wig looks new. And then as years go by, it does. I mean, how do you say it's dirty? It certainly ages. The horsehair itself at the beginning is incredibly stiff. So when you take this wig out of the box, honestly, it would stand up on its own. But, you know, 10 years later, the stiffening inside it has all kind of gone and it's very floppy and it's much darker. And then, of course, well, I'm a senior barrister. Honestly, it's ridiculous, but that's what they do. Do they sanitise the wigs in any way? No, not that I've seen, Tracy, no. It's either on their head when they're in court. The only other time you would see it is either on the odd occasion that there's this thing of opening a judicial year and there's like a little parade. But the ones in the parade tend to be the more senior ones. But other than wearing it in court, the only place you would wear it is between the robing room and court, and that's it. So, no, I've never seen anybody clean them with anything at all. I mean, you might want to take it out of the tin if you're going on holiday for a month, because I'd imagine it would be rancid on your return. Some people at home used to have like a wig stand and they would put it on there so it could breathe. But no, not in terms of cleaning it. There could be any manner of bugs in it. Exactly. If COVID, like Kim said, COVID could be running absolutely riotous through it. It's not that hygienic. They're certainly not kicking it around the floor either, but I witnessed that and I thought, shark jumped. I honestly thought he'd lost it. Which obviously he had, and he had to buy a new one, but then he needed it. Well, that's why there's quite a trade in old wigs. If a barrister dies and the family aren't that bothered, then there will be a very, very good amount paid for a used wig. Just the way it's always been. I know, they're barking, aren't they? That's the way it is. Same with the gowns, really. Now, the gowns are interesting. A standard gown for a graduation is a certain style. They all look the same, but a certain style. But a barrister's gown has a... If you can imagine two pieces of fabric sewn together, so into a square. But you've got this square. If you can imagine that just stitched to the back of the gown. So it forms like a pocket, but a pocket on the outside of the gown. So there's this flap on the back of it that actually has an opening in it. And it's stitched to the back of the gown. And that is there as harking back to how barristers were paid. It was unseemly to like present a bill. So what would happen is you would have what's called a dock brief. A brief is the actual briefing papers that a solicitor puts together. That will include like an indictment if it's a criminal offence. All the paperwork basically is called a brief. That's why you sometimes hear lawyers or barristers called briefs. It's the name for the actual paperwork. So you will actually, in years gone by, there will be a row of barristers sat in the court and you will have defendants brought in who don't have any representation. So we're going back like 100 years. And the defendant is able to look across at this like row of barristers and pick one. There is a thing known as the cab rank rule, which is the next barrister in line gets the job, unless the defendant doesn't want that particular barrister. So normally it's just the next one that steps forward. Right, that's called a dock brief, meaning that they were briefed from their client who was already in the dock. You're making noises over there, but carry on. Is it a treat for the girl?
Yes.
Oh, you lucky, lucky girl. So, defendants in the dock, barristers are lined up. A dock brief is where the defendant picks a barrister from the line of barristers. Right, the barrister then stands in front of the defendant between the defendant and the judge. So the barrister's facing the judge. The defendant is facing the judge. The defendant is stood behind the barrister. And that was how they got paid. The defendant would reach over and pop money into this pouch on the back of their gown. No bill required. I don't know if VAT was paid, but that's how it worked. It's amazing, isn't it? Kim appreciates the concept of wigs, but never cleaning them really puts you off.
Right, do you want to give her that?
Oh, have we got a dentistick? We've got a red dentistick. Not just any dentistick, a red dentistick. So, did Georgia have a buddy with her?
Yeah.
More for Mike's wig. Have you finished? Do I get a four? Good girl.
Yeah, they just came in a normal car.
Yeah, Morrisons sometimes do because they do same-day delivery, so they just hire folk and it goes in a car. So they might do two or three deliveries and then go back. But, I mean, that was really quick, wasn't it? Mind you, it was ordered quite... Well, I actually had yesterday pegged for it, but then the slot disappeared. So I ended up leaving it and then getting it for today. But anyway, it's here. Yay!
Go and settle down.
I don't want to settle down, Daddy. I want to giddy around. Oh, we heard sad news, didn't we, of one of the dogs that lives nearby who'd had a fit. That's frightening, isn't it? Mind you, 12. I think it's just hot.
Could be.
Lola's a bit on the hot side today.
She is.
Lola!
So am I.
Is she settling in the doorway?
I don't know where she's settling.
In that case, you might want to keep hold of her. She's on the mooch. The girl is on the mooch. Right, where's my chat gone? It's scrolling. That logo's fabulous, right? I love it. I love that. Kim would start a trend of pretty pristine wigs. Interesting, actually, Kim, talking of that. Differences in terms of what might happen in the future. Obviously, you are supposed to wear a wig. It's not optional. You will not be heard if you don't have a wig. Not even kidding here. There's two rules. One, you have to be of a certain standing to be heard. So either a barrister or a solicitor advocate, one or the other. Don't start. You've already eaten. For the court to hear you. Now, that sounds like a practical thing, doesn't it? Like, you know, speak up a bit. I can't hear you. But they actually will just totally ignore you. So I got sent to this case to represent this client. And when I got there, I thought, I don't have the right to speak in this court. Not yet. You know, I was too junior to be heard in this court. So I'm stood there thinking, they're not going to hear me. Literally meaning I could speak, but they would ignore me. They would choose, well, yeah, they would choose to ignore you. They can hear every word you're saying, but they cannot officially hear you. So I had to grab a barrister to explain the situation. I literally had to dash outside and think, you know, who's the most junior looking one here? And, you know, you could tell who would have audience rights, is what it's called, to speak in court. You pick the one with the cleanest wig. So I picked this junior looking girl with this wig. I said, can you be heard in this court? And she said, yes. I said, can you just explain that I've been sent and I can't be heard in this court? You don't have to do anything else. Can you just tell them that? And she did. You know, we had to go in and I'm stood behind her. And the judge was busy shaking his head. And I thought, well, what can I do? You know, I don't have a wig. I can't speak yet. Oh, it is. It's a farce. But what happened recently was because this wig thing is absolutely necessity. You can't get past it. There are Muslim barristers, ladies, who don't want to put the wig on because of their hair. They need a hijab. So there are no hijabs that are actually designed for lawyers. So you may have one, and then would you be able to be seen in court in that? They would assume that the wig is underneath it, and you might actually be able to see it at the front. But the thing is, the hijabs can be like quite decorative or quite long and too height of fashion to be heard in. So Muslims, barristers are turning up with the wig on, with a hijab, and then not being able to be heard because you can't actually see the wig. So a Muslim barrister got together with her flatmate during lockdown, who happened to be a fashion designer, and they designed two or three different versions of the hijab to work with the wig, and they're actually marketing them right now. I think it's about a month ago I saw that, which is amazing, isn't it? You pin it to the top of the hijab. Goes the other way, Tracy. The wig goes underneath and the hijab goes on the top. I think they could probably now get away with just the hijab, to be honest. They might be able to get away with it. But these are specifically designed for barristers. And why that matters is it's round the neck. Because a barrister also has, in addition to the gown and the wig, they also have like a white tie at the neck. It's not a tie, but it's a white thing at the neck. A little bit like the guides would wear. The little scarfy thing come tie.
Twoggle.
That, a twoggle. Was it a twoggle?
Yeah.
A twoggle or a
twaddle.
Whatever. One of those things, anyway. It's like a white collar that they put on. And obviously, the hijab has to go inside it. So these have been designed perfectly for that. What is a solicitor advocate? A solicitor advocate is a solicitor who desires to represent clients in court.
Woggle, not toggle.
A woggle. Was woggle. It a woggle?
It's a woggle.
Fair enough.
Did they not think about the connotations of that word when they invented it?
Probably, but it was a different time, what can I say? So a solicitor can represent a client up to a certain level in court, but beyond that level, so once you're out of the magistrate's court and you're into a crown court or any court higher than that, it needs to be a barrister. So many years ago, about mid-80s, they came up with this suggestion that if a solicitor completed an advocacy course, then they could become a certified solicitor advocate and they could actually represent their clients themselves in court. So they don't need to wear a wig or anything because they're not a barrister, they're a solicitor. But they are a special kind of solicitor called a solicitor advocate that can actually advocate for you in court. The benefit to the client is, one, technically that should be cheaper because you've only got one lawyer, not two or more. And the other reason is, you know, however good a barrister is, they don't know you as a client. They don't have anything to do with you. You are not their client. Not directly, you're not. You need a solicitor to have a barrister. You can't just go straight to a barrister. They'll turn you away. They'll send you to a solicitor. So if you wanted a particular barrister, what you would have to do is ask the chambers who are their referring solicitors. And you would then have to go to the referring solicitors and then ask to be represented by that specific barrister. But if you've got a solicitor advocate instead, then one, like I said, should be cheaper. But two, they should be way more familiar with your case than the barrister, because the only information a barrister has about the case is the brief. Now, the brief is a series of pages of a document. Traditionally, they are like, I think they were foolscap size, which is a little bit bigger than an A4. It's written out with the citation on the back page on the right-hand side. So picture that. You turn that over, and then the first proper page you're looking at is the introduction to the case. That's written by the solicitor. So the solicitor gives all the pertinent facts to the barrister. The barrister will then come back and ask for any other points of clarity or whatever. These pages, when they're created by the solicitor, are then folded in half. Well, not quite folded, they're kind of bent over from left to right. So top to bottom, not folded over so they're A5, folded over so they're half the width of an A4. And then they have string wrapped around them, ribbon wrapped around them, pink ribbon. Unless it's a land law case and then it's green. But normally it's pink ribbon. And that is the brief. So if you think about, if you've got a good solicitor, they'll brief the barrister very well. But if you've got a mediocre solicitor, or they lay it off to somebody else to do it, then it's only the quality of that brief that determines how well the barrister can actually represent you. So sometimes people actually want a solicitor advocate, given that they know all of the facts, and you're not going to be charged for them writing a brief because it isn't needed. They're not briefing a barrister, so it's just not needed. So that's what they are. That's how it works. Kim found photos, but they didn't have wigs on. What's this about? Hang on. Up we go. Should be able to display it and keep to the modesty rules. I would have thought so, to be honest, but some are more picky, because the thing here is it's not like there's an absolute rule. What could happen is that you've got this stuffy old barrister, stuffy old judge rather, who just, you know, isn't happy at having a Muslim in front of him, isn't happy about having a woman in front of him, isn't happy that he can't see the wig, and he has the power to say, I refuse to hear you. In which case, you know, that barrister, to earn a living, has got to do something to make sure that they can be heard. And it's not fair, but, you know, it was like that with women years ago. You know, I can see one stray hair of your fringe, I refuse to hear you. In the UK, it's not the same in Australia. But in the UK, you cannot have one bit of hair, of your own hair, showing under the front or the front sides of the wig. It's all got to be brushed back. Not one thing, not one strand. But in Australia, you see dramas in Australia and even barristers outside court. And if the lady's got a fringe, or bangs, I think it's called in the States, isn't it? They literally look like they've grabbed the wig and just stuck it on top of their head. And I'm like, oh, no, you can't do that. You would not have a job if you did that here. But that seems to be the standard in Australia, which is quite strange because their legal system's based on our legal system. But the rules are a little bit more generous, shall we say. A little bit more generous. That'll be the link. Yes, let me have a look. Let me have a look. That happened not that long ago. I think I saw it on the BBC. I need to go wider than the BBC, didn't it? That's the one. They're done in black and white. And you can see on that picture the neck thing that I'm talking about. The collar that they have. So that is beautifully neat and tidy. But if you can imagine trying to put a normal hijab on and then hide half of it underneath the collar, you can't work like that. It must be so uncomfortable. But that looks really good. I don't see why anybody would have a problem with that. I think now it's become a thing. I think the barrister, the lawyer, the judges will probably back down a bit. But they can be real sticklers. Oh, judges are bad news. Even the ones that are good judges. I mean, one that I admired was Lord Denning. He did his own thing. He was one of these judges that, you know, if it didn't sound right to him, then that wasn't happening. He would do his own thing. Everybody admired Lord Denning. But if you go back through his career to when he was very first a judge, there was one case, and it was absolutely appalling. You're reading it, you're thinking, oh my God, this was obviously of its time. Let's see if I can find the actual, how long ago it was. Because it became like a complete farce. Here you go. Controversial comments of Lord Denning. Do you know he died the day Brooklyn Beckham was born? I remember that. Lord Denning is a law student's favourite, but his views might shock you. So I'm trying to find the one about the red hair. Oh, here you go. During a parliamentary debate, he described homosexuality as a cult. He struck out the Birmingham Six compensation claim for questionable reasons. He basically said they'd done it. Innocent people being hanged would satisfy the community. These were bad, weren't they? Lord Denning described a Tory politician born in London as a German Jew. He made the Guildford Four comment, don't go there. He said homosexuals shouldn't be judges. And he said black people shouldn't be serving on juries. That's all before the redheaded comment. They are bad, aren't they? He was of his time. Shall we say he was of his time? And he did make it to 100, so he was actually born in the 1800s. So when I say he was of his time, he really, really was of his time. But no, it was in this case, and one of the people involved was a lady with red hair. I think she was a teacher, and there was something about whether she could carry on being a teacher or whatever. And in his judgment, he actually said she shouldn't be a teacher because she's got red hair. You're like, he's speechless. I mean, there are just no words for that, are they? So he was very good in terms of he was always on the side of the plaintiff. So if you were looking for a judgment, you know, so somebody had been harmed by some medical malpractice or something, he was the judge you wanted. He would be on your side from the start. But there were some very, very questionable things that he put out. I've forgotten how bad some of them were. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, we've got a cake. Tracy's got a cake. Let's have a look at Tracy's cake. Have you had a good anniversary? Let us know.
Oh, that looks nice. Is this the one she posted in Slack?
Oh, I'm looking at that. Yeah, oh, look at the raspberries and strawberries. Oh.
That's very nice.
Is this the chocolatier that we've been to before? Let's go back and have a look at the inside of the cake. Oh, look at that, Mike. Don't you fancy some of that now?
Yeah.
What's the yellow on top of it?
Mango.
Is it? Mm. Is it like is it a fruit?
She said it was mango. She posted
spread.
It in Slack.
Is it not icing of some description? It looks gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I love the fruit as well.
Oh, yeah, mango yes. Topping, mango mousse, chocolate and pistachio. And a crunchy chocolate base.
Exactly, Kim. No red-headed teachers. Can you imagine? It's honestly of its time. Oh, apart from the funeral. Yes, I'd forgotten the funeral. That was on the same day, wasn't it? Because I was finding words in that challenge from you in Slack. I think the one I got instantly was Barcelona. Which, okay, that wasn't difficult, was it? There was a couple of others, but only because we say them in mass. The Latin's very similar. So I did get a couple of other words, but nowhere near the whole thing, obviously. Oh, Renee, it looks better than Mike's pie chart.
I'm not impressed with that.
You could maybe make a pie chart that looks that good. Look at the chocolate in the middle of it, though. And whatever the other thing is, that looks a little bit like ice cream. I remember one year, I must have been about 7 or 8, and Mum was saying to me, you know, it was coming up to my birthday and I was actually having a party. And it was like the birthday cake. You know, gets up, birthday, no cake. And I'm like, but Mum, you said I was having a cake. And she said, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. The cake will be here. And I'm like, but it's not, Mum, where's my cake? Like a whiny little kid. So party started. She said, right, you're ready for the cake now. And she went in to, we had a room called a morning room, which is like a little sitting room between the kitchen and the lounge. And she went into the morning room, which was where we had the big chest freezer, because this was like 1974. And she opened the big chest freezer and there was this cake, and it was totally made of ice cream. All of it. Not just the inside, everything was. It had all swirls on it and all kinds of things. And it was made of ice cream. She said, well, you said you liked ice cream. Oh, it was to die for. That looks a little bit like ice cream. It does look very rich. It does. It's all the chocolate, isn't it? And whatever that base is, which also looks nice. Are you grumbling because you want something else?
She's left a stick out there.
Why are you leaving the stick out here? Where's the stick? Go and take the stick and eat the stick. Oh, she's in a funny mood.
You're in a mood.
I think she's seen this cake of Tracy's and quite fancies some, and the stick's not the same. Also, it is hot today, so she's probably a little bit depressively hot. Oh, Kim's never eaten an ice cream cake. It was, when it came out of the freezer, obviously it was totally solid. And Mum had worked out that after about 20 minutes, you'd be able to slice this thing without breaking the knife. So obviously the thing sat there and we put, she'd frozen it with the little holders for candles. So it all, she'd put all the candles on it. Oh, it was amazing. I remember that birthday very well. I think it was the last birthday I had at the house I was born in. So those were friends that I'd made from years ago. Yes, you play with chicken. Go squeak chicken. Well, I think she's being grumpy, so she's squeaking.
Lola, bring me chicken.
She doesn't want to sit down now. It was good. Happy, happy memories, because they were my friends from as far back as I can remember. And then I went to that village, the village of the damned. Oh, yeah. Didn't have any birthday parties there. They were all weird. But then we moved again. Oh, frozen Mars bars were the best, and I used to have those years and years ago. There's a Mars bar ice cream, isn't there? Don't they do Twix ice creams now and all kinds of stuff? That's not Mike with chicken, it's Lola. Yes, you. She's hitting it with her nose. She's too cute, she really is. I remember when they first came out, Renee. If it was pre-2009 and it was chocolate, I've eaten it. So I remember those. I think they needed to have a little bit more chocolate on them. Mm. But they were nice. They were nice. Oh, Kim loves ice cream sandwiches. I think I had those years ago. I have to have specific wafers now if I'm having that with any ice cream. But this order that's just arrived had ice cream in it. I also bought things to doctor said ice cream. So I think we should go have some ice cream, don't you?
We should.
Before book club and Line of Duty. I'm on to series 6, episode 6, Kim, but no spoilers. You will never hear a spoiler about Line of Duty from me. Plus the fact, it's that complicated. It'd take far too long to explain. Oh, dear, dear me. So, yes, I've got strawberry and, was it strawberry and vanilla?
I can't remember.
There's some strawberry anyway, and the other one is a caramel one. Oh, and Lola's not actually now eating the stick.
She is.
She's obviously
not tonight's stick.
Oh, you know, she's not stupid. She's thinking, if I don't eat the stick, I won't get any ice cream. I think I'll have the stick. She's a wily, wily dog. A wily dog. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy book club much more, Kim, when I put a label on that book so the spine's the right way round, because it's still playing with my mind. Oh, OCD's a terrible thing. But we will be back with you tomorrow and starting a new week of being marooned at MacBite's headquarters. So, for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
We will both see you next time. In the meanwhile, stay safe, guys.